different role players, particularly the tourism guys, and we have to address some of the problems in the process. And then, without much ado, number three will be then consideration of meanings, if we have time. But let us try and adopt meanings as soon as we possibly can. Otherwise, we tend to forget what is in the meaning, and then we tend to give different versions of meanings. So we'll try and adopt the meanings as soon as possible. But the way we are going to go about is that we have broken this thing down. We have broken the submission down to a presentation of summary by the content advisor, and then the second tranche will be attended to by the committee reciter. Then from there we shall deal with decision on stakeholders who will make oral presentations. Sometimes we may feel that some of these submissions need oral presentations, or perhaps there are other people that will have to come to make oral presentations. Well, that is going to be determined in the process of hearing, because there may be allegations against other stakeholders or another stakeholder, and then we shall be obliged to listen to the other side as well. Then number four will be a revised program for processing the tourism bill, which is in front of us. And then we shall consider based on the 30th October, 6th November, and 13th November. That is last year. So without much ado, let us hand over to Mr. Kuba. Then let me take the seat, because I'm seated right in front of the projector.
Thanks, Chaffetin. Good morning. The way we have structured the presentation, we have the submission number, we have 27 in all, and the second column is for the individual or the organization that submitted the comment. So in that column, just to facilitate the process, given what the chairperson has said in terms of speeding up the process of finalizing the bill, we will be just three members here and there, given the strength of the comment, whether that individual or organization should be invited by the committee for verbal submission. And we have summary of comments. So those summary of comments is just look at key issues that are assessed by this, but it doesn't take away the right for membership. Maybe there is something when you read the whole batch that is represented. If there are issues, maybe that you feel we did not cover, then you will add on. This was just to facilitate discussion. Then we said, let us see this so that you can see what is the common thread among all the comments, so that maybe even when the committee invites these organizations or individuals, we can then know whether we are inviting those people to talk to the committee on grading, on tourist guides, whatever. Then the last one is on clause by clause, the implication of this comment. It is either where that particular comment is covered, or we provide just a brief comment in terms of where or how it can be dealt with. So the first one was from Jason Dutch of the Cape Dutch Quotas from Toolbar. So the summary of comments there is that there is a need to synchronize tourist guide registration with first aid registration which then will mean that the period of registration of products needs to be 3 years, also to extend period of grading from 1 or 2 to 3 years, and that must be able to assign different grades to different rooms within an establishment. This comment in a nutshell says, let's say you have a very bad hotel, so this particular individual is suggesting that you can grade one room as a 3-star, the other one as a 5-star, the other as a 4-star. So that's the implication of that comment there. And in terms of the synchronization, if you look at the bill, the issue of 3 years is covered because the bill proposes that registration must now be over 3 years, which I think executive there was trying to address the synchronization with the first aid. So we feel that one is covered, though the bill does not refer specifically to it running concurrently with the first aid, but it can solve that problem. So the issue of grading is covered in Chapter 4 extensively. But I'm saying something to note is that room by room grading of the same establishment, that is one thing that needs to come. So the second one is from the instance of with the submission, we thought maybe in the committee, if deemed necessary, can invite Mr. Jason back for an oral presentation. That is just our recommendation, but the committee can decide otherwise. The second one is from Nolene Clarkson, Van Langeberg from Head House on Long Breakfast, who is Chair of Backpacking South Africa. So the comment that there is need for government to dedicate staff and funds to develop and market backpacking as niche tourism, and also need to make visas as easy as possible. So the comment there mainly talks to marketing, the first one. But well, I think in terms of staffing, if you look at the bill, the issue of staffing is there in Section 60.1, particularly for a tourist guide. But if you look at the issue of backpacking as such, the issue of niche tourism is covered in the NDFS. But what we are submitting to the committee, something for note, is that the NDFS, the clause there also says the minister may establish the NTSS. Meaning, once the minister has established the NTSS, his role will be done. It doesn't then show how then we're going to monitor what is in the NTSS. So there are many issues that are noted in the NTSS. But if we just take the basis based on NTSS, then my father, the issue that we need, maybe that might need to be regulated or legislated, that might get lost in the NTSS. So you will see a lot of our comments are saying this issue is covered in the NTSS, but that does not necessarily mean that issue will be the development of the NTSS that is legislated, not the monitoring of implementation of the NTSS. The third one is from the first event tourist guide was no name on this one, so this one has to do with tour operators. So here they feel that tour operators need to include a registered guide in a tour package, and then the bill is to address it of illegal tourist guide. So in another, what they are saying here is that to find that you'll have a tour operator that will be driving the tourists themselves. So they are saying if you are a tour operator, you need to conduct a tourist guide in order to guide your tourists. So that talks to tour guide legislation in a bigger sense, which is an issue somehow covered in Section 48.2A of the proposed bill. But we feel this is an issue that needs to be addressed in regulation. So we feel, because the bill says the minister may promulgate a number of regulations, so we feel there must be tourist guide regulations. So while all these things which are not covered in the Act, but which are pertinent to the Act, must be then fleshed out in regulation. Then the fourth comment is from Franco Amo from TOS is the need to, we need to have guidelines on remuneration of tour guides, and the need to be standardization of conditions under which tourist guides operate. That will be work conditions and other issues. So we feel this is more of a labor-related issue. And therefore, it doesn't fall necessarily within the ambit of this committee, but it falls under the Department of Labor. But members will recall last year there was that bill to Jerry that distributed to members that talked about these issues. Also issues of employment, because later you will see there is also a comment about foreign nationals who are guiding legally in South Africa. So this has to do with labor issues and also foreign nationals who are taking business from South Africa. But we feel this is not a thing for this committee, but for the Department of Labor, but never can that decide how we deal with that one. The fifth one is from Oliver, who is a consultant, and this one deals with a need for a common national tour guide database, and this one in terms of the talk to talk guide registration, and there is a thorough coverage of that in the bill in section 48, but specifically section 48 to 8. Also need to have an online talk guide accreditation verification system. So we feel there might be a problem with this one, because within this accreditation there are many documents that need to be submitted. Your medical certificate, driver's license, public liability insurance, and so on. So then an online verification, then you feel that might be a problem. So this runs from a concern where tourists, guys feel they have to go to offices to renew and so on and so on. But we feel that is still necessary, so that either the provincial or the national registrar can still verify documentation that authenticate that particular business. The sixth one is from Dion. Dion also talks to the issue of a period of registration to say it must move from 2 to 3 years, and which has been covered in another comment above. The seventh one is from George Andrew Roulette, who is a national tour guide. So this one, maybe members can pay also more attention to it. Say South Africa has been identified with foreign nationals from Congo Republic, Cameroon, and so on. And these mainly are French-speaking people. And the concern is that these people are then contracted by tour operators and accommodation centers, in particular, to then guide their French tourists. But the concern is that these people do not know South Africa, therefore they provide some information to clients. And because the comment says the problem is worse here in Cape Town, but there's also a disclaimer in their submission that there is no proof for this. So maybe this is just a hunch or what this individual is observing. But there is a disclaimer that there is no proof for this, but this is what is happening. So in fact, this mainly we talk about registration, and which is an issue covered in section 48. And also, if you look at section 459, in general, to say people who are hiding illegally, then there are fines that are attached to that, and so on and so on. But this will deal, the act and this will deal with proper tour guides. If you are a tour guide and maybe you did not renew and so on, or are found to be legal, it doesn't address the issue of foreign national clash. That's something maybe the members need to look at the thoroughly. Because you might find in South Africa, this is a difficult to write because they are not registered. But the presenter is mainly from foreign nationals who come to South Africa, then guide illegally. So one issue which is kind of interrelated. But within the issue of employing foreign nationals, we covered in another bill by Department of Labor in terms of how they want to deal with registration of foreign nationals in terms of their access to South Africa, in terms of critical fields and so on and so on. So maybe, and the way to deal with this is whether we classify tourist guiding as a critical field for tourism so that the Department of Labor can then know if they issue a permit for foreign nationals who want to go tour guiding. But as I'm saying, that falls within the realm of labor to classify this job as either critical field or not in time. But the submission is as such. Comment number 8, there was no name, but the comment is that they need to change in the clause that says I should not be allowed to drive or guide with headphones or mics. So this is a clause that relates to if a person is guiding at the same time. They feel they should talk while guiding. Need to change the clause that says guys are not allowed to drive with a trailer. There's another comment. So this is why earlier we said we feel maybe there should be regulations that will cover all these things. Because these things, they is what they are prohibited to do, but it doesn't come clearly in the bill. So we feel that in terms of the conditions of guiding covered in the section 51, but not in that detail. So if you have regulations, then they can provide more detail. Mr. Derimo, I think it's Mera or Mera, I don't know. Then comment number 9, they say there is a concern about an increase in the number of unqualified and unregistered tour guides, and there is a need for an emphasis to send a strong message to illegal tour operators. So that is a matter that is in tour guide registration, which is covered in section 55. So this, I think, is clear because there is also a penalty attached to it. So we should have another issue in terms of qualification for tour guides and so on. The 10th one is from Ruben Lowe from the Lions Club at Tavayalakwana. And here, comment that there is need for government to assist property owners, such as hotels in the hotel industry, with the tremendous cost of electricity. And they go on to suggest that if a tourism implemented some form of energy saving with a minimum mix of electricity saving measures, for example, they are using LED lights, solar heating, and so on, that those people need to be exempted from penalties that they invested due to the fact that they are using more than what is recommended. So we also feel this is not an issue maybe that can go through legislation, but is an issue that can be discussed with such organizations as SALGA in terms of electricity tariff at a local level. So we don't think it's an issue that needs to be added. The 11th one is from Andrew Lehman from the Chamber of Commerce and Industry. We also thought maybe this individual can, on behalf of the organization, be invited by the committee for verbal presentation. So what they are saying here is that there is necessity for cooperation and coordination between all states of government. There is need for greater flexibility to tourist guides the bill take the hard line to those guys, and they go on to say that there is only a contest. Bill decided on training and skills development, possible duplication between SAT, International Marketing Council mandate. Is now that IMC, I think, is now brand South Africa, but the command came as this as IMC. The establishment of national convention was not favored as this according to international practice, city origin based, and the last and the other comment is that cities have already established their own convention bureaus, and also a comment to simplify process by which information is collected and need to for it be to specify including. I think this one is kind of controversial, but the members will talk to it the last one. Need for be to specify inclusion of representatives of certain designated tourism speakers on SAT board. So if we comment on them one by one, so we feel the necessity, the first comment, the necessity for cooperation and coordination between all spheres of government. If you look at Chapter 8 of the National Tourism Sector Strategy, NTSN, it suggests some institutional arrangement at the national, provincial, and local government, which we feel it covers the issue of coordination. But the truth on the ground is that some provinces don't have the tourism structures, and the problem is even with the report will be presented later to the committee of the local government conference that we attended with some members of the committee. The problem is still right at provinces where you don't have some tourism coordinated structures, and it is even worse at the local government level, where they don't even have budget for their own structures of the tourism. So we feel the issue is covered in the NTSN. However, as we said, maybe one of those issues that can be elevated from a strategy level to policy level to say maybe the committee can suggest establishing these structures and provincial and local level. Because at a national level, you have structures like the MINMEC and MINTEC. The minister meets with all the MECs on a quarterly basis, and the DG meets with all the SODs on quarterly basis. But at a local level, nothing happens. Meaning, the information then flows from province to national, province to national. So there is no feedback from national to province, or there is no information that will flow from grassroots up to national. So that's why I say, as much as it is either members when they consider cross by cross, in the case of the national transfer strategy, if there's some form of legislative mechanism in terms of implementation thereof, so that all the spheres of government are kind of not forced but mandated from this structure. Or you can leave the NTSN as is and just have a new clause altogether where we are suggesting the establishment of the institutional arrangement. Because if you look at the white paper on development and promotion of children in South Africa, all the role of national, provincial, and local, they are there, up to communities and private sector. So it's clear, but you cannot enforce police because they are the police. So you will need some mechanism then to enforce formation of these regulations. This goes with what is said in the NTSS itself, say there needs to be elevation of tourism in government, because we have a national department of tourism which takes tourism seriously. One of the six in the new growth path is also one of the sectors that contribute those jobs as about in the development plan. But if we don't have the structure, that's why I think members will look at this closely. Issues of marketing we feel is covered. But another issue that we feel maybe should highlight is the issue of the Convention Bureau. Section 10.1, 10.1e, talk to the establishment of the Convention Bureau. It is already there. Even when the SAT came last time here, when they were briefing the committee, we had the CEO who is attached to SAT in that meeting. But the issue here that is raised, which is also true, is that the issue of the Convention Bureau international, they are not at a national level. They are at a city level. So, but what you have here, you have this coordination bureau at a national level. And what has been said is that some provinces, they have with certain cities combined by the city convention bureau. So you have now a national convention bureau, then you have this city convention bureau. But the legislation, the bill, does not say how will this work. So I think there needs to be coordination because otherwise you're going to have higher South Africans at the national level. Maybe we beat for a certain event where the central department beat. Let's take Olympic department, say. Then they still need to look for Olympics and maybe City of Kitas or City of Devon also approach team for voting or events or business tourism voting. But so you're going to have this council. There needs to be some synchronization to say what should the national group do and what would the provincial group do. So the bill as it is, it doesn't say, it doesn't do much, just only talk to the national. It doesn't recognize. And I think maybe when this goes to the NCOP, then they might have the first president the committee flag that, because I think that will be picked up when NCOP is got to collapse on this, because they have already funded some of these bureaus. Then the third one is from Dr. Ismail from the Cape Peninsula Institute of Technology, whom we felt also might be invited to the committee. There is a variety of issues on transformation, labor, marketing, guides. The bill failed to provide guidelines to address transformation questions within the tourism industry. So this is just a broad statement. It doesn't talk to specifics, but the bill does not talk to transformation. The bill fails to provide guidelines for the unionization of individuals working in the tourism sector, which we also felt is a tourism bill. But members will recall in one of the submissions we made to the committee was to say, if you look at what has been happening last year in terms of these transfer actions made other sectors, tourism within has just been made so far from this. But if you look at the issues within the tourism industry, can easily lapse to chaos because we have a lot of cancellation. I won't say unfair labor practice, but we have people working long hours and so on, and there is no form in which these people. So I think this is where this comment comes from. Then South African Tourism Board should facilitate a subvention fund of tourism related bids. So this talks to the convention bureau that we're talking about, because bidding for events and conventions and meetings is done by the Bureau through SAT. And also, the UN legal advisor, he feels, should be replaced by expert, not a legal policy guide during the, if maybe there are disputes, they must be represented not by legal advisor, but by a legal expert. So this issue with SAT, I think it can also be viewed with the earlier comment where there's a feeling that when the executive appoints members of the board, they should be representatives and not come from the same sector, or we have many people from the same province. Beijing, Harold, who is Director General for Responsible Tourism, based in this university. So this is not a South African who submitted this, but it's an individual who has worked intensively in South Africa. You'll call the recipe that a responsible tourism declaration, which is called the Cape Town Declaration. Among those people also mentioned in the submission who was leading and drafting the Cape Town Declaration. And also you look at these international platforms like ITB, WTM, in terms of those academic sessions they hold in terms of tourism. He has a lot of those in terms of tourism. So he's a well-known international figure in tourism. So it just commenting on the bill, so I don't know how members of the bill will comment, because it's a comment from an international body, but that advises us to print. So here, talk about regulation, to say regulation can improve quality and ensure minimum standards. However, regulation can also be used to protect interests of those who are already established in the industry, thus sabotaging the interest of emerging enterprises. And he also submitted that they need to ensure an appropriate balance is struck between regulations designed to ensure minimum standards to protect the reputation of the country and the new forms of tourism. He makes mention of township tourism. If members read in that submission, you will see he makes a number of examples, such as in Uganda and so on, where a regulation has been used to protect the interest of well-established businesses, where even for tour guides, we'll say that for you to be a regular tour guide, you need about 25 vehicles for you to operate. So that is the regulation in the country, so we can look at. So that's why he's saying it's just an advice to say if you regulate, you should guard against over-regulation, because it might affect new entrants. But at the same time, if you do not regulate, you might tarnish the image of the destination, because people will start to think we need it. So we feel regulation, because you have a section in the bill that deals with a number of regulations that need to be established. We feel that will be covered, and also you have sections that we have referred to there, 42 and 61, in terms of how the issues have been dealt with. But I think the issue remains is the issue of township tourism. Okay? For example, township tourism wouldn't have been made in South Africa if that must be done by registered, which was just started by local people, then they were formalized later. So they must allow that room for people to operate at that level. So the chicken and egg, but remember, we give it to say, how do you promote that? And then that is why, in our view, we feel maybe you can have incentives. So sometimes you say, I want to be a tour guide, but they don't have money to go to this place. Maybe the department can have incentives to say, how do you assist these people who do not have money to comply, to promote this machine? Other to say, you can't get into the market because you are not registered. It's an administrative issue for me rather than a regulation issue. Because if you exclude others, you might end up exempting everybody. So it's better maybe if administrative to deal with it, but not at a regulation level, but at an administrative level where you have incentives to assist new entrants to comply. 14, from Banita Blanche, who is the chairperson of the South African Tourist Guide Association. We felt, because there are so many issues of tourist guides that go to the submission, the members might also want to invite Banita Blanche to make a member presentation. The various issues that as a federation in general, they support the bill, but then since the bill does not mention, there's no mention of supporting regulations, no mention is made of driver or guides in the new bill, chosen from China, Germany, bring their own tourists and the local guides of the town, no mention of financial support to tour guides. I think as much as members might invite important ones, which has not surfaced in other submissions, is this issue that other countries, when they come to South Africa, they bring their own guide. So the issue that is not the same, the question was about your illegal people. But here you have China does that, because the issue of language and so on. But I think also members of the call when the Chinese delegation was here, the matter that should be cast in that delegation. But it is raised now in the field to say, how do you deal? Because he feels that Chinese must come here, but once they are here, South African might say over tonight. But then also, then how do we bridge the issue of language? So the submission is that they have the actual guide, and in so doing, then as South African guides, then they are deprived of income they would have obtained from those Chinese tourists. Then there is the submission from Mr. O'Donnell, who is from Steamnet, 2000 plus based in Chiba. So, for instance, I think member can read this entire submission. It deals with rail tourism. So, it did a background, what happened, and the issues that were agreed on between foreigners and rails, but now all those have not been implemented and so on. So therefore, the steam rail tourism opportunity in South Africa has now succeeded and used to be number one. I think this has not only talked to Kimberley, it talked to many other areas in the country as well, where you've had a lot of these steam trains, other provinces, and most of them, they are no longer operational. So, We look at this as a matter of strategy rather than legislation, because it's a matter that will deal with other departments, other public entities, and so on. You cannot control this. But if you look at new tourism development in the national tourism society, the issue of tourism is there. But how then you promote it is another issue. So we feel there needs to be discussion in terms of how you unlock real tourism. I think also with the new infrastructure programs that will be rolled out in terms of density, maybe some of these benefits. But overall, this has been operating mainly in the abandoned railway lines, or in auto major passenger or good railway lines. And maintenance thereof is done by Department of Transport to the public entity. So it's kind of difficult to manage. Then I will then hand over to Ministry to take members to the electoral event.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. I'm going to continue from where school left off. I'm going to be speaking to the rest of the submissions. The process is the same. We did a summary. The things and also the comments. The first one, number 16, is Tourism Union of South Africa. Although it doesn't mean that I'm an leftist, but it's a union. the concerns raised there were concerning the omission of labor issues in terms of other contracts, the UIF, contributions and so forth in the bill. Furthermore, such additions should be informed by consultative process as they advance. But if such things had to consider in the bill, there should be a consultative process to look into what are the agreeable terms in terms of working hours and so forth. But also under the theme, we put that under labor relations, because we felt that even though it's not there in law, there are other legislations which deal with issues of labor and working conditions and conditions of employment. So, however, I don't know how human works from a legal perspective, if the bill should make a recommendation to say that in the absence of this, the bill that already exists should take precedence over this bill in terms of working conditions and issues of worker contracts, because the Department of Labor deals with the number of working hours in different sectors. So we felt that this concern should be able to make that, the bill should be able to make such a reference to those existing legislations. There was issue of contracting of tour guides with tour operators and business centers. Concerns are raised regarding driving and guiding, whereby they said that people who are driving bigger tour buses are guiding at the same time. I think there's another one raised before in the other comments. The comment said that there should be clarity provided on the contractual practice that should unfold for tourist guides, and also in the protection and facilitating of job creation, as well as safety of tourists, as the tournament should be able to find a way of regulating such. The role of tourism protector in the protection of workers' rights, that they operate that as a union, that they understand that the protector will be dealing with issues of the tourism industry and the things that, and complaints that come so forth. But what can the workers stand for complaint to the total protector to say that our rights are being violated by employer X or whatsoever, and how are those going to incorporate it in terms of regulating us? So we felt that the need for clarity to provide the role of a protector, if ever it will extend that far, or does Chapter 5, Section 47 apply in this instance. Concerns were raised also on the sideline of the bill on issues relating to code of good conduct on tourism practitioners. So the code of good conduct are there, but in terms of tourism practitioners, it's not there. And the statute should be provided on the why there is an omission on the code of good conduct on tourism practitioners. In the procedure relating to re-registration, Chapter 6 states that the person who fails to pass a prescribed quality assurance process is expected to be completed no later than 2 years after the date of registration. So basically, you register and then you're expected to fulfill the terms of the registration by finishing the quality assurance test within those prescribed 2 years. And furthermore, it validates in all registration in all provinces. So basically, if you register nationally, you meet as a prescribed, it means that you are registered, you can operate in all provinces. So we felt that the government should be able to provide clarity on in terms of the alignment of registration, as a person can only be registered if they meet the required standards. Because Chapter 6, a person can only be registered as a tour guide if they meet conditions in Section 51. Section 51 clearly states that a person has to produce a document which is an African qualifications authority. So it then goes back to that Section 50, where it says a person is expected to complete, as a confusion there. If you're saying a person is supposed to complete a particular quality assurance thing in the 2 years that they are registered, they're already registered, but then Section 51 says you can't be registered if you don't have qualifications. So there's a misunderstanding there, but there needs to be clarity in terms from the department. The next submission was from Chagatos, and it spoke broadly on the marketing of raw areas and domestic tourism. So basically, the submission was from someone based in the Eastern Cape, and they were outlining the issues that they've got so many products in terms of domestic tourism, raw tourism, and so forth, but they've got issues in terms of infrastructure. They don't have accessible infrastructure. It's not necessarily things that something that is supposed to be in the bill, but I think it's also something that they're raising in terms of requiring assistance from the committee. And it also relates to the strategy of the department. The NTSS, it's been the NTSS in terms of rural development of tourism, but people feel that that has not been done. The next submission, number 18, is from the Midland Meander Association. The association raised concerns on the operational connectedness of the National Tourism Board with Provincial Board. So the National Tourism Board is there in the bill, but it does not say how it's going to relate to the existing tourism board or authorities in other provinces. Like, for instance, you've got the Mpumalanga Tourism Partners Agency. How will the board relate to those? And in addition to this, the association feels that there should be clear rules on marketing the total offering of South Africa as compared to only marketing places like Cape Town, the Kruger National Park. So there's a general feeling that people, the tourism board, focuses on products that everybody already knows about, whereas the South Africa has got a lot to offer. And the bill should clearly outline what relations the NTB will have with provincial boards. So there should be a section in the bill that says, this is how we're going to communicate. Although there is something like that, but it doesn't really incorporate the tourism board and the municipalities and so forth. Furthermore, the grading of establishments, those speaks of grading. However, the concern is that, as it is, the grading of submissions is poor, implemented, and monitored. So the concern is that, yes, we agree to grading, but there's no proper monitoring and rollout of this grading. And on the other hand, the value of the grading system is questioned, reading that international tour operators use their own audited source places of accommodation. So what these people are raising is that, in as much as we create our establishment and we say that we can provide quality to tourists from all over the world, certain countries have a certain criteria of choosing which places are suitable for their people. Like, for instance, they would say in Cape Town you can only use Southern Sand, because according to our standard and our auditing procedure, Southern Sand meets the requirements. Even though you can say it's a five-star it probably doesn't meet our requirements, so they use their own auditing processes. So the comment that we made that the department should be able to provide clarity on the strategy that will be employed to ensure that these establishments get preference from the tour operators in all these countries. So if I grade my establishment to a five star, how would that assist me in terms of using the other countries that use our own auditing processes? How are we going to be able to convince them that we are on the same wavelength in terms of the quality that we seek? Number 19, it was a submission from the Department of Economic Development and Tourism from KZN. And concerns raised there were that the bill is quiet on transformation, or the way it put it, it's not clear. It's like it's not shared by other things. So it doesn't come out here to say issues of transformation are going to be dealt in this particular manner. It doesn't speak of the tourism codes. How are we going to make sure that they're being employed? How are we going to make sure that our practice and in terms of monitoring of them? And there needs a lot of clarity where transformation fits in the bill, including roles and alignment of the 6 years of government. They raise issues of the tourism levy, whereby they feel that there needs to be clarity why the tourism levy is collected, how is it collected, and what are the benefits of collecting it. So where do the funds go? Where are the funds taken once they're collected? So we felt that the bill needs to provide clarity on the collection of the levy, and who and how it should be collected, and relay clearly the purpose of such a collection. The registration and receiving data from tourism establishments for planning purposes. The bill states that there should be registration, there will be receiving data from tourism establishments planning purposes. However, to facilitate a new planning, cycle planning and regulation, the purpose of registration of tourism businesses that made compulsory. So the department knows that for you to be able to get information from certain establishments, you need to be the businesses need to be mandated to register. It shouldn't be a matter of choice, because how are you going to get information from businesses that you don't know where they are and whether they exist or not? So if you register them, then you know that there's 10 businesses in this particular area that deal with tourism issues. If we need information on issues of data, how many tourists were there, we'll be able to get that information because they are registered under our umbrella as tourism. And there's also issues of training and skills development. The department felt that was not here in the law. And although this has a provision in the NTSF, then the general understanding was that the NTSF is not a law that you can enforce. It's a strategy that the minister needs to come up with. So if ever it fails in the NTSF and it doesn't, there are no ways of making sure that these things the NTSF are delivered. So if they're not delivered, you can't call anybody into account and say, why is this not delivered? Because even the NTSF as well, in the bill it says the minister may instead of the minister should. So it's a matter of choice of words to say that if you're saying may from a legal perspective, how accountable is that person? You're saying if I may or may not, you know. And the issues of visitor information centers and provision of VICs by local authorities. They're raising that issue because many municipalities or local authorities don't have visitor information centers. And you find that, for instance, in the issue of Maputo Corridor, there's an issue whereby the visitor information center in that particular area is a national visitor information center. But then the municipality, because in their area, they want to control it. But they don't want to take responsibility for it, but they want to control how it works. So there's those issues of flexing between centers of power, who should control what and where. So if municipalities came out with their own disinformation centers, then there wouldn't be that thing. National disinformation centers would be national, and the local ones would be built locally. Also, they suggest that certain ministers' responsibility in the bill should not be made but must, such as establishing the national tourism information and monitoring system. Chapter 2 speaks about the monitoring system that the minister may establish. So they told us that should not be made. It should develop a system so that they're able to get information. So it's must. The minister must establish national tourism information. So the bill needs to be clear on that. And in terms of the tourism board representation, the department felt that in as much as the minister appoints people in the tourism board, it should have individuals from each and every province. So that when it comes to marketing, the marketing is geographically spread. It's not something whereby you only have people in the board who come from Joburg and Cape Town, and this place that are on the spotlight are Joburg and Cape Town. So if you have people from every province, you'd be able to collate the whole experience of South Africa and market it. They raised gaps in terms of spreading and operational issues and penalties, but it was not clear what penalties would be given to people who are putting their plants when they're not supposed to putting them because they're not being degraded. These are things that have to do with issue of regulation, so that needs to be clear in the regulations what would be the penalties and so forth. And the scope of the protector is also questioned because in this issue, in the bill, it says that the protector will work on the job. So the protector does not have inspectors who go and say, now we're going to look at issues of the grades or the substances that have been graded, whether they're complying. So the protector sits in the office and waits for a person X to report a particular issue. If people don't report, then the protector doesn't have what to do. So the comment that we made there was that the protector only depends on referrals. The protector should be equipped with inspectors in order to ensure compliance or use one's grading or tour guide. So what could be used here is the same concept of the grading system, whereby you have the people who are grading the places. The people who are grading the places inspect the places. So the protector will have to employ other complement of staff. They can use the very complement of staff that are dealing with such issues, but they should be able to report back to protector so that the protector has a broader understanding of what is happening in the industry. Same with the tour guide. Number 20 is the National Accommodation Association of South Africa. And basically their comments were in line with bill. They accept the bill as it is and they appreciate that there's now going to be law that is going to be regulating the tourism industry. And the same goes with the Association of Small Scale Enterprises in Tourism South Africa. Their comments on that the bill, they accept it and so forth. Comment number 22 was from Patricia Hansel, who is a tourist guide. She spoke about the lack of reputable human resources in tourism authorities, the fact that in most tourism authorities dealing with people who are not capacitated, who don't have the expertise in the tourism industry, who don't even understand the industry. And also part of that, I think between the resubmission of 22, she complains a lot about the Mpumalanga Tourism Park Agency, that it has incompetent people and it has closed down and operations there are in total patterns. So it's not really relevant to the field, but it's something that the committee could look into if in terms of promoting and developing tourism in the province in Mpumalanga. And she also suggests that the re-registration should be every 4 years unless there's an extension of provinces. Tour guide booklet should be provided to tourists and expensive aligned first aid costs. So basically what she's saying here is that the re-registration, it should only be done every 4 years because it's expensive to do the re-registration and the thing is nothing much changes. If a person has got a qualification as a tour guide, that qualification stands there unless somebody has extended to another province, which is also a bit tricky here because now a person who's registered as a tour guide, it means it's accepted in all the provinces, but I don't understand what the implications would that be, because if a person knows South Africa as a whole, then they can guide everywhere. Usually before, you used to be able to guide in Western Cape only if you reside in Western Cape and you've got knowledge of Western Cape. Now they register you and you recognize all the provinces. So if you wanted to extend to Gauteng and you were the Western Cape tourist guide, what would happen is you have to provide competence, but you now know how things work. You know the area. So now that is provided from the word code registration commences. And also she complains that in previous years, they used to have a tour guide booklet whereby you would look at the provinces and you would know these are the tour guides in the provinces. So you'd be able to contact them and say, okay, I mean, in the Eastern Cape, you look at the booklet and then you see, okay, there are 10 tour guides in the Eastern Cape. And the nearest one to the place that I might just see, and then you could have a person to be able to guide you. So she feels that that should also be looked at as well. So the government needs to provide that into the re-registration process and provide the time frames in terms of the bill. Comment number 23 is from the South African Government Association, which we felt also they should be invited looking at the work that they do in terms of the local sphere of government, which is the implementing board in terms of the tourism strategies. So the staff advisor like Bill should clarify notions, especially in joint ventures and projects. For instance, when a municipality is working with the national sphere and the private contributory from China to build a particular thing or a particular road, so the bill should classify how those partnerships should work. And however, this issue is covered in the chosen triple P toolkit with the National Treasury, although there should be an indication, they feel there should be an indication in itself that such would be accommodated in this particular thing. And in terms of intergovernmental relations, the tourism sector should be spelled out in the bill. So they feel that intergovernmental relations should be there. There should be an indication in the bill that this is how it should happen. Issues of MINMEC and whatever. And that although it is covered in the interest, there needs to be clarity on how most of these will filter and work with the local spheres of government. The issue of management and maintenance of tourism infrastructure, the bill should make a provision for this. Like, because most of the time you go to a particular tourism infrastructure and you want to find out, and maybe the infrastructure is dedicated, and you want to find out who's responsible for the maintenance of it, and you don't know. So people say, no, this was built by the national government, but the national government has handed over to the provincial government. People don't want to take responsibility for maintenance issues, so that should be solved. That projects that are done by this should be taken care of by the province or by the national government. That's what they felt. There's an issue of development of an operational toolkit and cooperation model for local tourism work. So this already is in the interest. However, it might not have the desired ethical strategies in comparison to it being connected as law. They felt that even though it's kept under the NTSS, it will have much more weight if it's made to be law. And the following comment is from Norman Acton, number 24. He raised concerns on the grain of private websites, tourist brochures, etc. Because that in chapter 4, the implication is that the bid covers grading for tourist incentives, facilities, and products. But then he feels that there are websites that advertise tourism products that are graded. So you would find people advertising all tourism services, guest houses and so forth, but nobody monitors those websites because they also represent South Africa. So he feels that there needs to be an understanding or there needs to be an inclusion of grading of private websites and tourism brochures, because other tourism brochures have got ratings and styles which are not given by the South African Grading Council. And also he raises concerns on the scope of data to be collected by the National Tourism Information Monitoring System. And he feels that in terms of operations, how they should be operating the National Tourism. So but that will be laid in the strategy of the information system, how going to work and so forth. And furthermore, Norman Acton has written a whole contribution on how the BAL triangle works. I think the members have got interest in that. How there's the need for funding for certain projects, and that they're collective working to improve the BAL, that they've got functions that they run every year, they've got festivals that are very given the positive outcome and so forth. So if members have got interest in that, I just felt that those things are not part of the bill, but they're very interesting if members are interested in it. Comment of response is from Susan Pillane. She raises concerns with regards to the omission of post-tourism body. She comes with an introduction of how sport tourism is important and so forth. And she feels that sport tourism is not covered enough. Although it is covered in the National Tourism Services and its product, it's not covered because she feels that it should be at the same level as the Convention Bureau. Which Convention Bureau cover issues only. It doesn't cover issues of sport tourism or so forth. So she feels that it should be covered in the same way that business meetings are covered. There's also comment number 26 from the South African Catholic Bishops Conference from the Parliamentary Liaison Office there. They raise issues of differential pricing that should be regulated for local people as compared to tourists. So there should be a price for people who live in Cape Town who want to go to Robben Island. They should be able to pay 100 rand, and people who are coming from overseas who are paying 300 rand, so that people are able to visit these places from the local surrounding areas. And that domestic tourism could be promoted. So they raise that, they raise the accessibility, that it's very expensive for local people to gain access to certain attractions in the country. So they feel that there should be a regulation in the bill that says that as a local person, you can pay half the price or you can pay a particular amount to gain access to the places. Because this is part of the legislation in countries like India. So that should look into. And also he raised the issue of tourism guides with indigenous knowledge. That the tourism guides like, don't have qualifications in terms of Section 51, which raises issues of African qualifications authority, that you should provide a certificate that is recognized by the by SACA. So if you don't have that, but you've got indigenous state, that means that you won't have access to guides. And those people are people who tell tourists that are captivating about the particular areas. So they feel that there should be a way of accommodating those kind of people. Number 27, there's a comment from Send in South Africa. They just say that they land the bill, however, there are issues in relation to the required expertise in collection of statistical information to be received for businesses. So that is in relation to the National Tourism Information Management System. So they feel that people who are going to run that system should do with competence who understand statistical analysis. So I'm going to give back to my colleague.
Okay. So we have made
Ujral
comments. There are many things that we feel maybe members should look at, but it's a different company too. One is the issue of NTSS. To say the NTSS covers most of the issues. However, she suggested some aspects of NTSS should be legislated to elevate issues from strategy to legislation. So that's one thing that we are putting forward to members and look at this seriously. Because NSO will see most of the things they say they are covered in the NTSS, they are covered in the NTSS, but the very thing is, are we going to be able to manage and implement it thereof? Two is this issue of mandatory versus optional registration. We have seen most of the comments people are saying in terms of tour guides and so on, in terms of businesses. So that is one thing that members should consider. Maybe the third one, the majority did not include the ease of the protector, the power of the protector. Because you can see the comment that the protector only deals with complaints that are fed. So protect is reactive all the time. So can you then maybe suggest that the protector become proactive in having inspector? So these are the three issues we'd like to put forward to the committee. Issue of practical issues of NTSS to be legislated, concerning of mandatory letters, optional registration, and the power of the protect. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you for the summary, and I think the summary is quite an accurate reflection of the submission to the committee. But before we respond, and since he is ready, let us break for 5 minutes and then immediately thereafter address questions of clarity for those that have read. But the most important thing would be issues of processes now. Where do we go to now? So let us not spend a lot of time dealing with clarity. We shall find clarity as part of dealing with legislation. So let us break, and then we shall then deal with the issues of process. How do we go forward? The issues of clarity, except if it is absolutely necessary, we shall entertain. Because really, sometimes clarity and comments sometimes become the same thing to some members. That is my concern. So let us break and come back at 25:00. Thank you.
Thank you. I will talk to him.
Let us have 10 seconds. 8, 7, 6, 4 seconds, 3 seconds. Let us then move. And the Mama Ujome, I think let us agree that we are just going to raise very, very, very relevant issues. We are not going to comment at this stage. One block.
Yeah. I thank you very much. And again, I want to suggest that we don't ask questions also of clarity, because the education is going to deal with an explanation, and that's where the questions of clarity should come. I mean, all these things, we still going to go through them. Number two, we still have to read these documents and be able to compare or not compare with the researchers. But at first, I wanted to thank them for the work that they have done. I think it's a really good job well done. But still, we have to read the documents ourselves. Now, secondly, I don't know what criteria is used to invite the people who are going to submit it. I see this number seven. It's about the foreigners taking up the job and talk guys when it relates to subjects coming to languages like French or German. Now, I want to suggest that we invite this person who is raising this issue. For me, it's very important because it's got something to do with job creation. Who are we taking the job for? So if you could hear the person that does, because as he says, he's speaking from experience, I just wanted to make a suggestion. Thank you,
Yeah, but the same person says that, however, there is no proof for all this, but available for further input if necessary. So, let us be careful about unsubstantiated allegations. Mama of Nova Babufa.
Okay, thank you very much. First of all, I think I just want to also thank the authors. They did a very good job in producing this summary. There's a couple of things missing here that I think we need to get to Kairos a bit more. The one is, for those that don't have the NTS, this is critical to the documentation and to relate to that. The second thing is the provincial, national, and regional criteria for the setting up of the provincial centres, or what do you call them? I can't remember the right name. We need to see what lays out the structures of those particular tourist centres so that we're clear on that. And just a point that I just want to mention there in the first paragraph, just for correction, we're not talking about medical aid here, we're talking about first aid. Medical aid is something different. And yes, we need to just make sure we talk about that, because that is a very critical issue here.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I think my contribution, I think I would like to confine it to clarity as to how I think we should deal with this, my main process here. There are certain issues raised by people in their presentation which relate to issues of policy, and others relate to matters of legislation. Some of them are not very clear as to in the recommendation, you know. It's a policy issue, and therefore, I would also like to thank the presented for having done that. So I think we mustn't ignore the recommendations, even though they don't warrant a discussion. We must make a note of them so that we can appropriately deal with them, for example, with the relevant departments. You know what I'm saying, sir? For example, in submission number two, for example, they said they need to make the visa, you know, easy. Now, that's not the only thing they did. They also said that there should be a certain type of visa they should consider, like a 6 month for volunteer, which will also bring in money to the country as well as bring skills for somebody volunteering, working here in social work. So this is something we can recommend to the Department of, for example, Home Affairs, nothing to do with education. So we must take seriously recommendations that they make and use it to advance the interest of tourism in the country in an appropriate way. There's one concern about Section 7, about the issue of foreign nationals. The question was raised as to whether there would be a need for us, to declare, tourist guide thing as a, critical skill. But then we'll have to consider how is that going to impact on tourism industry. Because if you take the Chinese, for example, and the Germans, and try, you can't bring a German individual to come and tell us about that. They might argue and say, well, our people understand, we understand our people better. We've been here in South Africa, for example, for 10 years now. I know enough about South Africa than many South Africans themselves. So you are actually telling me, because I'm a foreigner, I don't know about your country? That's not necessarily true. Because I'm a foreigner, but if I took a tour to India or Pakistan or Libya or Arab countries because I was in exile in those parts of the world, I probably know more about that place than a Pakistani. So can a Pakistani say, because I'm a foreigner, I can't take a group of South Africans on a tour to India or Pakistan? I would argue that it's false, because I know those places as much as a local person. So I think we have to be a little bit careful in our enthusiasm to protect local industry or local. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I don't sound, too liberal on this. But I think we have to be serious when we look at that issue. Maybe we can say, we'll discuss that when we get it. The issue of the relationship between the three tiers of government, I think that was a very critical one. But we just have to ask ourselves, how best can we legislate? To just provide a framework, or what will be the nature of intervention in legislation in order to get the three tiers of government to function without actually being in conflict or competition with each other? I think I'll stop here. Thank you.
Okay.
First of all, I would like to thank the presenters. It was good to listen to them. And one has learned quite a lot. To be a good tourist. And secondly, I would like to support what Mama Jo Baker suggested that, or in fact, she asked a good question. What criteria is used, in other words, who can invite the people that submitted some of these, as my colleagues have just pointed some of them. Is it the management, or I don't know either, who is to do that for us, because I still feel there are quite a number of them that can come and present and we can talk to them and get to clarify.
Okay. So roughly what happened for the English to happen, for the Chinese to happen, for the French. And then as a lawmaker now you could find a way to say, but this is the reason why I could and then that reason has got to be acceptable according to our constitution. So it's something that is fine, that we have to be determined together with our legal advisors. I'm not saying, we can have the guy who thinks that the guy who thinks that the Congolese and Cameroonians come here and interpret, because more or less it is similar to the one for the Chinese who come with their own people to interpret. So if you let the Arab, then also let the Arab. I don't think that poses a problem. Let us be careful in the process not to be labeled as xenophobic or something. I mean, I think you are mature enough to not to be quoted as such from all other parties. Mr. Fry?
Sir, thank you very much. Let me call for the sentiment of welcoming the presentation from the two. Much only to maybe to check the week after last, where we invited the professors from sitting the agenda, and we encourage them to maybe to submit their proposal whether a committee can do something, maybe to check on that, whether we put some proposal for this, whether to be part of this when you call all the invited. Because their presentation for that day was so paramount important. And I'm of the opinion that they are important to this particular process or this legislation. That's what I wanted to get. Lastly, maybe to allow the people that have been doing this wonderful job to really to check and how who are very important people who because I'm aware other people, they just repeat what others have just said. So come and see, if you're going to say one thing, I don't think it will be making us a profit. But to check those people who are very important and to put their comments or their recommendations to the community so that the community can take a correct position on this matter.
Okay, already we are then on number 3, regional stakeholders who will make a presentation. But before that, let us, as we read this presentation, try and manage issues pertaining to labor relations. For instance, like working hours and all those things. Those things are in the Labor Relations Act. And we do not want to get into that arena because it is under the Department of Labor. And there could be working hours in winter perhaps being shorter and then in summer being longer. And then for your better season. Like farming, I guess it happens to tourism as well when it is say summer and the holiday season, perhaps we expect the tourism guys to work longer hours and so forth. But I think we have to be careful. And then on the issue of the qualifications as well, and then we were warned not to create barriers using qualifications. But at the same time, we want quality. How do we balance the two? I think that was said by the presenters as well. Because you want to remove barriers, but at the same time, you want quality. But what do you do? And then it's possible to do it to both. But now, how do we make sure that both happen? And then the issue of the National Convention Bureau, province, city, and so forth, that is the layman of the Durban Chamber of Commerce. How do we manage that as well? The issue of the merits of the word legal advisor against legal expert. If we cannot resolve that, we have somebody from the state law advisor to advise us in that context. How do you then choose a better way and why? Because you don't just remove weights without knowing why you have removed this and then substituted that for the other. And then the issue of the issue of Leeds University. I think here we are open to anyone making a presentation that is sensible to us, and that we feel is relevant. But at this stage, I do not feel that they should come. But at the same time, I mean, that somebody is in a university in London should not prevent them from making a contribution. Because what we know, what we want to have is information, enough knowledge to make a determination. If that is going to assist in a determination, then we shall have that one. And then on the issues of transformation, I think transformation is a challenge in this industry. But given the fact, it is also not because of the ministry, of the lack of pride from the ministry or of somebody. It's the history that is playing itself out. What we need to do is to have interventions rather than say the issue of transformation, because we have about 90% of businesses belonging to the private sector, and most of these establishments are small establishments like guest houses, B&Bs, and so forth. They are run by families. You cannot make one family have different people of different races in most cases. So it's all those dynamics that are at play that you want to make sure that you understand before talking transformation and creating expectations in the industry that we cannot realize. But definitely we've got to develop, there has to be innovation, like township tourism, like different stories around the Madiba villages. I think it was the Salmona magazine where they were talking about the Eastern Cape, which is promoting them. They are promoting themselves as a heritage. Has anyone seen that one? I think it's heritage, like the home of heritage legends or something like that. They are promoting their province and that. So now, rather than saying transformation in general, try and develop that home of learners thing, and then automatically then we are going to get people that will be competitive in that area because of their knowledge of the history of that area and what has happened in that area. Oh, that village they had. Okay. Well, you've got to take up this to make your newspaper more appealing, I guess. But, in fact, it was not Matiwa House because we had the advantage of having been there last year. And then the labor relations issues, let us as much as possible try and move away from those, because really, we for instance, like the tourism union of South Africa, I do not know whether it's a union in terms of other unions in the labor sector, or it is a union because of people that are having the same objective working together, partnership. I do not know. What is the nature of the union? Is it a labor union, or is it a union in the sense that they are working together? Voluntary, all are voluntary, but in the labor sector you have a union, in the other union you have people who have the same objective working together. But what I'm warning against is that there are provisions in the Labor Relations Act that could certainly satisfy this condition. Then there was the issue of
something about apologies to the meeting. There was, there is a fixed, I don't know whether to call it a wage for the tourism operators in the hospitality industry. I don't know, Chairperson, I want to find out whether that came out of the Department of Labor or it came out of tourism, because there is a fixed salary whether you are right through South Africa. And then now the owner is on the owner of the service, whether to increase that or not. But most of the time, it is not increased. It is a wage that remains to exploit people and keep them down on that wage. And they cannot complain or go to any other union to complain about it. Now I want to find out where that came from.
Are you saying that tourism guys have a minimum wage?
No, it's from the hospitality industry.
Okay. So just a quick response to what Mama is asking. That is salary determination by Department of Labor. They do it for all the sectors, but it's not controlled by tourism. So they, like it's been happening with the agricultural sector of the event where they rate 205 rand. So the same thing happens with tourism, so they determine who will get what amount of tourism.
Of a minimum wage. If the employer is prepared to give you more than the minimum wage, then it is a disadvantage. But remember that sometimes some workers do not have power to bargain for their wage. I think it is meant for those workers who don't have power to bargain for their wage. Those workers that have power to bargain for their wages, they get much more than minimum wage, even if they work for government, even if they work for any sector for that matter. So, but also I think it is still a matter for the Department of Labor to look at, not us, because if we start getting there, then the Department of Labor will challenge us anyway. And because there is law already in the Department of vested with the Department of Labor. Then there is the issue of grading establishments against the not grading. The issue of quality and promoting. I think other agencies are there. They are promoting some establishments. We do not know whether they are paid or not, but we do not know whether they get the incentive to promote other establishments. So it's all those things, but at the end of the day, should we grade for the purposes of quality in our destination or not? If we do not, are we going to have the desired destination, the quality in our destination? Because remember, we are looking at sustainable growth in the industry, in the tourism industry. That is the opening sentence in the objective of the bill. It's growth, but it should be sustainable. And what will sustain it is going to be quality at the top of the definition. Then there is the issue of the collection of levies, and then the board representation. You remember, and that SAT tourism, I think they call it SATB here, but South African tourism, I think they want to the it is SAT as we know it. The board that is running it. Yes. So here now, the marketing, you remember that we have been complaining it was that some experiences are not reflected in their advertisements. Like the Fall River experience, the boat that is a restaurant that can move about 50 near the Cable River. It's not reflected in the advertisement, and then the current experience. So they are saying that we should have people from, there should be a geographic spread in the SVT district part. Whether we can look at that and see also about merit and demerit. But no, sometimes it's experiences rather than provinces. You find the same experiences in different provinces. For instance, team reserve and so forth. So it's up to us to decide at the end of the day. The issue of the grading, the issue of the power of the tourism protector, do those powers vest with that office, or should they be powers of the grading cartel of South Africa, who anyway have people that they can go and inspect the districts if they go and inspect as a matter of duty, do they then need to increase the number of people working? And that is so much of an implication to the budget. The issue of Mpumalanga, MP, the people that are not skilled and running the port tourism. That one I don't think we can be in a position to legislate the minimum qualification for any job at this level, because there is no job that is so specific that you can say you want this qualification like a doctor. You can have a graduate who just belongs to another field, but has enough knowledge of the field or has enough post-graduate in such a way that they know tourism much better. So I don't know how it determines that it is up to us. Yeah. And then the Isaga, and then the talking about intergovernmental relations, then normal action, and then the sports tourism body. Let me check. Does MICE, we have this term MICE, meetings, incentives, exhibitions, and events. Exhibitions, no, it's not events, exhibitions. So the E is not for events, it is for exhibitions. So if it was events, it would include sports. Exhibition, it would be stretching it a bit. Much if you say a sport is an exhibition. It is an exhibition. I don't know. But let us see how we frame that, and then let us think. And yes. Catholic Bishops Conference, they are saying that there should be two areas, and they are doing it here. Coming from my background, I would support the idea of saying when the high demand, you don't exempt anybody. Then during low demand, everyone is affected. For instance, if you continue having a long queue at the Table Mountain, scarcity price and on route count. Otherwise, you're going to reduce the revenue. Once you reduce the revenue, what do you replace it with? Mm-hmm. Or should government then compensate, say, the Table Mountain for reduced revenue? Or do you say that it is seasonal? During this season, very busy season, everybody pays the same. But during off-peak season, then there is this
differentiation. But if you think so, then how do you manage that? So let us, as we go on, look at these things in that fashion. Where you reduce revenue as a matter of fact, then how do you, I think in a later, then compensate for that cost revenue? You get my point. Because sometimes you make that decision and then you find that revenue is reduced. You have retrenchment, you have all these things that go with reduced revenue. And the supply, people who are supplying new food or the restaurant or shop. So it's the thing that you have to permit on your own. You are rich leaders, but the affected that you've got to look into and they are making that determination. Then there is this standard, standard university of South Africa. Yeah, they are, there's nothing controversial they are saying. Then the NTSS, well, the NTSS will change as situations change. There could be other aspects of the NTSS that would not change, like the Bureau. So, this coming lab, perhaps we've got to get the NTSS circulated, because some people are, we're not members during that period, but let us just carry secretly the NTSS. If you not available, the department we have it. Those who can Google them, they can get it in their computer. The issue of making mandatory decisions on tourist guides, data and grading. Do you do that, and if you do it, how do you look at township tourism and emerging market? Powers of the protector, proactive rather than reactive way of making deals with that. But these things have implications, financial implications, some of them. So when we make them, then let us understand that they are financial implications. Then there is the issue, if you go to Mpumalanga, they say that they are having their target, what's the target of where? It's more than Swaziland and Mpumalanga, right? What are your requirements for tourism guides? To all the, what are the minimum standards? Because, I mean, what happens in South Africa affects us other one, and then when it comes to quality control, what happens? Do they have to grade the same way? What do we do in order to ensure that that destination, which is now perceived as a South African destination, is having an experience, a desired experience of the legislator? That is also training Botswana and Zimbabwe on transfer. Grand Empire Park. It is there in Clear National Park in Zimbabwe. So it's all these things when we legislate about tourism guides, about standards, we're going to have them all in the mind. Then we have the memorandum of understanding with other countries, particularly the SADC countries. MOU we have with Zimbabwe, MOU we have with Kenya, and how do we handle the message that the quality of South African, of South Africa as a destination is good, despite what they may find. Well, if it is better, when it's acceptable. But if it is worse experience, how do we then manage that? I think those were the comments I wanted to make, so that when we read these things, the dynamics that will be there. We appreciate all the dynamics, some of the dynamics that are involved.
Thank you. Chair, I wanted to also just respond to Mr. Khora's part of the question, Chair. There were two three institutions here that have promised us that they will make a submission to the committee. We waited until yesterday evening. Nothing was coming from them. One was FEDASA. The other one was the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University and the University of the Western Cape. We gave them the bill and then we explained the process to them. Even until yesterday, we have not received anything from them. So, Mr. Korai, they were consulted. So I'm not sure what is the delay, why they are not submitting, and so on. But they know about the bill, that the bill is before the committee now. And then the second point is, I would like to get it concrete, Chairperson. All those people that have been recommended to be invited, who is there some, what I was saying about the submission number 7, do we take that or what? Because from here, Chair, I want to go to the office and then I can start contacting the stakeholders so that they can be here before the committee next week. Given this list that is before us now and the recommendations that have been made by Obungi and Wispu, is there any other names or number that you want to get there so that by this afternoon I can start communicating with all those stakeholders who are supposed to appear before the committee next week so that at least to give them also some time as well if there are those who are outside Cape Town who have to travel. Thank you, sir.
Okay, before Ben to respond, there is number one to be invited, that is a recommendation. Then there is number 7 was recommended by Mamudu. If we invite them, let us agree at work. And then there was the
I would think to have somebody deal with the language interpretation issue. But we are getting the Federation of South African Tourist Guides, and those people are not affiliated to them, and they talk on behalf of them. Otherwise, we're going to duplicate. It's quite precious in this whole process of, and there's also financial implications. So, first, I think the Jerry must have checked to see whether they are affiliated to that Federation of Tourist Guides, because they raised the same issue about the Chinese and the language issues.
Mm.
And here they talk about the French issues, number 14. So I just feel that we must just check to see if they're talking with one voice here. And if they have an association like this, you might find that, they will be able to address the same issue of language and interpretation.
Okay, no, I get your point, because they are organized tour guide.
Chairperson, I just wanted to thank the secretary that at long last here at the ambassador. Because we, it's common job, we are the very people, and we were just waiting to hear from the yes, and now some with the and so we just we were just wondering, because that one was never answered, and we were worried. But at long last, you listened to Honorable Farai, very good.
Sorry, I'm very, very sorry, Mama Ogilai. Now, so perhaps does that mean that if we invite the other tour guides, the organized tour guides, let me first perhaps deal with the recommendation of the content advisor and the same affair. They recommend that number one to be invited, Jason, like Cape Dutch Quarters, Calbar. Does it have a heat before and heat? That one. And then the second one they recommend Andrew Lehman, Devon Chamber of Commerce, and Hina.
Yeah.
Then number 12, Dr. Redwan Ishmael, Cape Peninsula University of Technology. Right. And then number 14, Mr. Talapani Blanche, Chair of Federation of South African Tourist Guides. Now, I mean, the implications for all the labor relations act, we can find, but we are not going, and then we can clarify our position on the issue of labor relations act for him. Then, and towards the tourism of South Africa, Mr. Tourism, you know, South Africa to be invited. Yes, are they a labor union on that one? Oh. Okay. Yeah, because they talk a lot about the issues that are part of the Labour Relations Act, but what we wanted is that there is also an agreement that we've got to invite number 16. Then number 19, Department of Economic Development and Tourism, KZN. We'll be dealing with the transformation, registration, training, and skills development, and so on. Do we invite them? Great. Then, South 23 agreed? Okay. Yes, are there any additional stakeholders? Mama, home job, eh?
I've also suggesting number 26 because they are coming up with something that's quite different and we need to clarify ourselves on that.
We will require that the committee allows us to still consult with Pedanza because we need a private sector voice which is not here. So if we get them, then we include them in those schools. That will be, it can either be Pedanza, if we prefer to say that, unless we can even try to be meeting. Because we want the private sector board.
They have to get
that. They have to get that. So we're still trying to negotiate. What are you trying to ask?
Yeah, because also they have enough knowledge. You remember that there's a presentation that you say that in one hotel, they should be different grades. Room should be different grades. How do you manage those things? Is it applicable?
Yeah.
Is it not? How do you protect the consumer? Those things that they can clarify as well.
I'm very happy with the recommendations that the colleagues here have made regarding the FTSS. I think maybe, since my colleagues may have been green on it, but I've never been because I was a team member. I would like to, for us to go through the NTSS and do exactly what they think, is to see what is coming out of all of it. What part of the NTSS we think we need to be profiled to be raised to a legislative thing. I think it would be very important for us, before we finalize what the bill should be, is to actually see what are the things in that NTSS that they have raised, and maybe there are some things which they haven't raised in the submission. We should go through that, work through that document. What it is, I don't know, but it has been worked from before. I would like to see some notes or something. Thank you.
Okay, let us just put that on the table of the coordinator advisor and the researcher. What you can legislate and what you cannot legislate in that. Because that red document talks about a strategy for a second term, it is up to 2020. and remember that we've got to align ourselves always 20 days. So, all the time, let us train in all those things and make sure that we are in line also with the next time.
Alright,
so
okay,
we have all now people to be
invited,
eh?
Yes, sir, I've got
okay.
The names now. So immediately after the meeting I will start communicating with the stakeholders.
Yeah, particular matter. I've noticed that the house chairperson has called for this all to be tabled by the week of the 11th, which is like next week or something. I don't know whether that's possible in light of fact. I think I counted there's 6 or 7 public hearings where we've got to deliberate on and then come to it. I know this bill's not controversial in any sense, but I think we must get it right because, you know, we're making it for future generations and there might be things that if we rush through it and go to admit and then regret afterwards. So I'd just like some clarity on that and see whether, as chair, you might not be able to persuade that to take a little bit longer, this process, you know, and maybe ask for another week's extension, even if we do it, you know, after Eve. I mean, it's not as though it's highly critical. The only thing that I think that might cause a bit of concern is the appointment of the board, you know, which we need to make sure happens. But I mean, there is a provision for that thing to operate anyway, and I understand under Section 22. But I think it's a bit short notice to get notice that we should start cleaning this up by that time. I mean, to my mind, I don't know if it's possible because I'm sure Jerry, he says he wants to go now and phone people, but I can tell you to get flights, to get it organized, to get hotels and things like that just before that, it's not going to happen. And then we've got to subject ourselves to working Fridays and, you know, committee days and things like that, of which we've already committed our diary to.
We are telling the person. In fact, I wanted to say this earlier on, just I forgot. I think really, Parliament is very unfair to us. We've been waiting for this bill for all these years, and when it comes, we are so limited. But then, I suppose, I don't know, depends on the program. I would then suggest that, you know, when, for instance, they are giving us time for submissions or deliberations, they must not limit us to the time when the plenary starts. We should be exempted from attending plenary. On that Tuesday, March the 12th, and that Wednesday, March the 13th, yeah, they can give us the whole day.
Okay, you facilitated the plan. The revised committee plan was then submitted to the committee approval. Okay, because Tuesday, 12th of March, 9 to 14 hours, Wednesday, the 13th of March, 9 to 15 hours, and then Thursday, 14th of March, 16:30 to 19 hours, Friday, 15th of March, 9 to 13 hours, 19th of March, consideration of the B version of the bill and the committee report. Then on the 20th of March, the adoption of the version by the committee and the committee report. This is what we have in terms of planning for our time.
I think we work Tuesday as Mother Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday. We are even every week, Tuesday and Wednesday, all day working. We don't have to go into Friday or something. We can do Tuesday and Wednesday 2 days, so we don't sit on a Wednesday, we can sit on a Wednesday all day. Everything is finished.
the program which was, I'm worried about other could be that one is a member of special matter, because we have also for Wednesday where I know the federal committee, the committee that I'm sitting in, Adam Carter, for just coming very quick that we visit the in service of the new boss, and I wonder if I'm going to share my presentation. Is that these two are very important, and my one is that how I'm going to deal with it. But my question is whether this deal is a controversial deal so that we can be in a hurry to propose it, or we can just take a time so that we can make a correct deal. Because last time, I think the president addressed the issue of the deals that are candidates. Rectification from the lawyer or from the judges. So I'm afraid of having the B. Head of the judges is supposed to be operative. Then the High Court rejected it. You see, those types of rejection of the B. I don't know. I wonder if there is clarity and guidance whether this B is a controversial B. That's why give us most of the problem.
Well, according to the information we have up to now, there's not a lot of controversy in the country. But as the thing, the hearing develops, we do not know what is likely to emerge from those interactions. But that was our estimation, and it was considering the fact that. Very soon, in the second semester, people are going to be asked by their political parties to be away from parliament, to set up election structures and all those things. So the question then comes up and says, we finalize the bill this year, or do we leave it for the next quarter? If we do so, is it in the interest of the industry, given the fact that industry has been prioritized because of its nature of absorbing labor that is semi-skilled, unskilled, and skilled. That is rural and urban, that absorbs women and men together with youth. So it's with all those things that have to be factored in, that was factored in when they made that determination. So that was why we said, in fact, immediately it was very short term. And we had to look at it closer and say, we can't make it on the 11th. And then we asked for it to be, stressed a bit. But there is always a danger of not having quorum. Once people start being deployed by their parties for election work, do remember that. And then this legislation then may not be adopted by this parliament. And it was in the interest of the stakeholders who are important in South Africa because of the nature of the industry and then because of unemployment level in the country that results in a higher inequality. So it's those things. Mom Jove, you want to say something?
No, just
something.
I was just wondering, the what is so different about the social voting elections that we can't think our year so short? Well, I don't know really what is being discussed behind the scenes, but usually we live in November when there is an election year the following year. Now maybe or in the competition among parties, so many
let us go in our study groups and then see which is the best option. But you see, normally political parties just they do not say so and so is in this committee and therefore they are going to leave him out or her out. we may then be unfortunate, and then they take 3 or 4 people out. And the office committee. And then we don't know what to do with the people left, and then we are not having quorum. That is the problem.
Provincial, local, or national.
So we expect to be guided on these in case they end up in a situation where someone decides, let's go to the Constitutional Court. We are lucky, the South Africans, that we have a final arbiter. Other people swear at each other when they don't have options. We've got the Constitutional Court. So let us just work as a team. I know we can do it, and then I know we are going to do it well as usual.
Yes.
You are a good team of very, very mature people, both administration and members, and let us move and finish the job and do it as well as we are supposed to do it. Now, unfortunately, our meaning is, let us... we are not going to be able to be with minutes, but let us send comments to the secretary, and then we'll see how to accommodate the different minutes as we go along. And is there any announcement from the secretariat? No. Okay. Now, let us then hope that we are going to perform well and promote our destination well and promote our country to the best of our ability, even though it is one of the best countries when it comes to tourism, and assist the teams, the different stakeholders in achieving the best we can in South Africa. With those words, let me say thank you very much for everything.
Sorry, Chair, just to come after you have closed. Chair, I just wanted just to appeal to members. Those files that were provided members, we will use that file throughout until we finalize the deal. So members, just make sure wherever you are, your file is next to you. Thanks, Chairperson.
Then we figure as we go on.
Oi, mamãezela. O Windows e a filhinha do Windows que está gravando ali. O Windows e a filhinha do Windows que está gravando ali.
Ngiyakhululeka 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 ngiyakhulule